If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians, if you would, please. Philippians, and if you're able to stand in honor of God's Word, as we read a passage here, I'd have you do that. Ephesians in chapter 2. We'll read a passage that's a little bit seasonal, as you'll see here in just a moment. Philippians chapter 2, begin at verse number 5, okay? Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege it is to be together on the Lord's day in the Lord's house. And Lord, again, we're trusting that we're not meeting alone, but rather, Lord, that as you keep your promises, you'd be in our midst here today. We want to recognize that. And Lord, I pray that that being the case, that our hearts would be tender, our minds would be open, Lord, to what you have for us as you speak to us. Lord, I pray that we'd be sensitive to that. Not that we'd just be hearers of it, but, oh God, ready to be doers of it as well. I pray you'd help me as I preach. Lord, I need your help today. You know me better than I know myself. So I pray that you'd empty me of self. And your Holy Spirit, Lord, might anoint me, really fill me, and enable me, simply use me as your instrument through which you would speak today. Speak to me as well as through me. I need it as much as anyone here. So I pray, Lord, as you know our need, you'd speak to our need. If perchance, I don't know this crowd. I know a few folks. I don't know everyone, but I know you do. And I know you know the need. Could it be there'd be someone in our midst here today who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior? They don't know about you. We live in a country that's called a Christian nation. I know many folks know about you, but it's something different to know you. Certainly have a personal relationship with you as their own personal Savior. If they're questioning that, have no assurance of that in any way, Lord, don't know that, I pray that you'd so convict them that that need could be met today. Oh God, that you'd give them the courage to act upon that need. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It doesn't matter what day it is. This is the day that you've chosen for someone that's lost that they would be saved. So if there's anyone in that need today, oh God, more than any other need here, I pray you'd meet that need. So Father, we commit the service to you now. We're looking for what you're going to do as you know the needs and as you purpose to meet those needs. We'll praise you for it even now. We'll thank you for it even now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse number 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I said we're a little bit seasonal. We're moving into one of my favorite times of the year, Christmas season. I love it. I love it for many reasons. I love it for the focus that it can have and certainly should have. I'm thankful in the nation that we live today, we've got lots of warts and lots of problems, but yet still we have a Christian holiday that's set aside in which people's attention is called to why we even have such a day. The events to recognize the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. He took upon himself, as the Bible says, the condition of men. In fact, it's so important, all of history is defined by that event. A.D. and B.C., the event when Jesus Christ was born. And here it's talking about the name of Jesus. And Joseph, of course, was told by the Lord that the name was to be given to the son that was going to be born of his espoused wife. His name was to be Jesus. Now, I had the privilege of having three children. When my wife gave birth to our first, we didn't go through a lot of things they go through today, didn't know for sure what brand of child we were going to have. And so, but I, as a young father-to-be, I was praying I would have a son. I was figuring on it being a son. And my dad's name was Uriah Harris Leidick. And
say what we say. He's why we love what we love. He's why we hate what we hate. He's why we vote the way we vote. Amen. Come on. He makes a difference in our lives. The difference between Bible believing Baptists and paganism is Jesus. The Apostle Jude criticized those who, quote, denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Ephesians 4, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's the difference. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, we're not saved by what we do. We're not saved by who we are. We're not saved by where we go to church. I'm glad you're here this morning, but you're not saved because you're in church today. We're not saved because we read the Bible. We're not saved because we pray. We're not saved because we count beans. We're not saved because of religious jag. Come on. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace through faith. Amen. I often said it this way. There's what I call the big lie. And most churches, some of them, this is what they preach. Some version of this. This is it. Do the best you can. Be the best father you can be the best husband and wife, be the best citizen, try to keep the Ten Commandments. That always bugs me. Well, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Name them. You're keeping them, name them, right? Well, maybe two or three. Come on, we're not saved by what we do. That's the big lie. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it were words, I could come along and say, hey, I'm a Baptist preacher, I'm better than you. I can't say that. I won't say that. There's no good. There's no good. There's no good. No, I'm not. There's no good. Come on. Not a matter of doing good. All of our righteousnesses are still being ranked outside. Isaiah chapter 64, which says, here's the lie. If you get to heaven, there's a big scale there. And God has this big scale. You're going to put all your good on one side and all your bad on the other. You're going to keep your fingers crossed. You're going to hope your good outweighs your bad if it doesn't end your good. That's a lie. That's nowhere found in this. Come on. It's nowhere to be found in this. Notice, if we get what we deserve, we all go to hell. There's none righteous. No, not one. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is the difference. He's the difference, Savior. The Lord Jesus is the Savior. The difference between Bible believing Baptists and Judaism is Jesus. And we have a heritage in Judaism. Our Savior is Jesus. God forbid. Child of God, we've had something like that. That's like oxymoron or something. Our Savior will do it. I know going out to the office, and I'll even have a Jewish family knock on the door. And it's almost exactly the same thing as Jewish story about that. I tell them, and they invite me to think about that in church, and they say, I'm Jewish. And they go to close doors. They think that is. Before they get the door set up, I say, I'm a Jew. You are. Sorry, I said, you are. I'm an adopted Jew. And they'll often question, but are you talking about Jesus of Nazareth? Or she said, yeah. I said, well, yeah, I did. More than once. But I said, one time he made it very plain at the well, the Samaritan woman, and I quoted that verse. All of a sudden, time to go back to work. Lunchtime was on work. It's kind of ended the conversation. Come on, Jesus claimed to be the Messiah because he was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He's the Savior. His place and his person separates us from everything else. The difference between Bible believing Baptists and theological liberalism is Jesus. His person. He's God. He's God. He's deity. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, those three are one. He's God. One of the differences, a common difference between the cults and Orthodox Christianity is the deity of Jesus Christ. The JWs, the Mormons, they'll all tell you he's not God. Mormons tell you he became a God, and you can be too. Fantasy stuff that people come up with. No, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. His time, eternal, his birth, virgin born. Come on, someone, I've been working to listen. Being virgin born is all about the form. Excuse me? If he's not virgin born, he's born like you and I. He needs a Savior like you and I do. The virgin birth is key to the importance of who Jesus Christ is. His bloodline is not depraved. It's not condemned by God. His word, sacrificial, his death, vicarious, meaning substitution. He didn't die as a martyr. He didn't die as a victim. He died as a Savior, as a sacrifice. He offered himself. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down myself. I'll lay it down. I'll pick it up. Come on. He's Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our substitution. He died in my place, in your place. His resurrection bodily. Come on. He was dead, and he rose from it. Again, some of the liberals will say, well, we don't think he died. He was beaten to a pulp, he was unconscious, and finally gave out. So he kind of recovered when he was in that tomb. Well, ask that Roman soldier to jab that javelin into his side. He was dead, friend. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. He died on the cross. He died for me, and he died for you. It was sacrificial death for our sin. Position, intercessor, he's on the right hand of the Father, interceding on behalf. His return is imminent. His reign is theocratic and millennial. One day he's coming back. The liberals don't like righteous rule. Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron. And what he says will be done. Amen. Be nice, won't you? Have righteousness ruling for once. His reign is different. Judgment, righteous, and universal. Come on, he came the first time. We celebrate his coming in Christmas season. He came as a Savior. He's not coming back as a Savior. He's coming back as a judge. And I'm telling you, the time for you to settle your account with the Lord is now.
Yes, sir.
Now's the age of grace. Come on, you hear me? Amen. Now's the opportunity. Now's where the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Come on. Jesus Christ is your Savior today. Don't wait till he comes back. Christianity is Jesus, his lordship, his pleasing, how to live. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, no man hath more than entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Come on, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. We've got to deal with an intent that I might please him. Oh, yeah, we're concerned with what others might think, but most important, we've got to be concerned with Jesus. How we live, so it makes a difference in how we live. The message for mankind is Jesus. You know what America needs today? Come on, you know what they need. They need Jesus. Come and play this. Just think what America to say all this political nonsense about tolerance and inclusiveness. I'll tell you what, when it comes to the gospel, it is exclusive. Jesus says, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one Savior. You better get your theology straight, friend. It's not on how you live. It's not where you go to church. It's not the Bible you read. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. Come on. I'm a preacher. I want people in church. I want their notes in the Word of God. But you don't get to heaven by doing those things. You get to heaven one way. The message has always been Jesus. You can go back through the Old Testament. Come on, the Old Testament is a message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is the direction you're looking. The Old Testament, they're looking forward to the Lamb of God. They're looking forward to the coming Messiah. They're looking forward to the final sacrifice and yet to be paid. We in the New Testament look back at the cross. Come on, look back at the Savior who did come. Amen. Look back at the debt he did pay and settle. He lays, raised his hands and his heart and the court of heaven and said, it's finished. God said to the serpent, we put back in the garden. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's a couple of ones that are bruised the head. One day, Lord Jesus had grappled with Lucifer and cast him in the place of the divine. I said, I'm going to crowd up the very end in front of everybody. See that rascal fall before I can watch him fall.
Good riddance, liar! Good riddance, Satan, you Lucifer, you rotten good for nothing. Good riddance to you, amen.
And one day, come on, no more sin. No more sorrow. Because we deliver by way of the Lord Jesus. The message is all of them, Jesus, and large. Testimony to the message that Jesus said in the Garden of God, and that is the only way. It's a message of grace and truth. I mean, you can go through all the Old Testament illustrations and examples. Abraham, when he told Isaac, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice, and he did. He did. The Lamb of God will fix the Lord's sin and the Lord. Joseph, my favorite Bible story. Joseph, I love that story. I love that story. The greatest storytellers Hollywood never could ever come up with a story like the story of Joseph. And it's a true story. And it has such great typology of the Lord Jesus himself. Beloved of his father, hated by his brothers, raised from a pit to a position as vice favor over all the empire of the world that day. Life sustainer, sin forgiver, sin revealer. Self-revealer. Himself. I love that story. Joseph, he had enjoyed some of that, didn't he? When his brothers were coming, Jesus lifted up on the cross. The passion, all the message coming with it. The Old Testament message was the same way. We're told in the Word of God that those Old Testament saints, in the book of Romans, Abraham was saved by faith. Who was saved by works? No one's ever been saved by works. All by grace and faith. Judges, the great deliverer will come. The final deliverer is Jesus Christ. David, when God told him, thy throne will I establish forever. David's throne established in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah, the minor prophets, all of them pointing toward the promised Messiah. And the message for today is Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It's the same message as the message today. The Gospels are the message of his life. The Acts are the effect of his life on others' lives. The epistles are a pattern for living like him. The Revelation, the book of Revelation, is the power of his coming and the glory of his reigning. It's all about him. Come on. It's all about him. Why? Because without him we have nothing. We are nothing. We have no hope. He's the blessed hope. In him we have hope. Without him we have no hope.
Without him. The message for today is Jesus. The message will always be Jesus. The message of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, better be, I believe it is, may ever be, Jesus saves. Now we're here to worship him. We're here to rejoice in him. We're here to exalt him, to lift him up. We're here, by God's grace, to see him draw folks to himself. It's all about him. The Bible says that Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian. Hear that story? Philip's in Samaria, they're having a great revival there. And God says to him, Philip, why don't you go out to that place? I had all kinds of visions of these Bible stories. I can't help but think. Philip said, do what? I want you to go out into the desert. Lord, you know what's going on here? There's a great revival going on, people getting saved, all kinds of things. I want you to go out to the desert. So he was obedient. He followed the Lord. I'll show you. Looking out there. Knocking out there. I don't see this chariot. Open the shade and the palm tree. The Holy Spirit says to Philip, put it on yourself. That's what I said. So he walks over there. And is that Ethiopian? He came to Jerusalem. And Gali. He's a Gentile. He's been called convert to Judaism, and he's been there for one of the pilgrimages during the holy days, and he's going back home to Ethiopia. And he's been reading Isaiah. You know the story. Philip pulls up there to him and says, understand this what thou readest. And he smacks him in the hand and says, how can I accept something else you show me? And he's reading Isaiah 53. By the way, let me just interject this. Jews today still have trouble with Isaiah 53. Because it is a prophetic message of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so as he's reading this, how can I can't understand, I can't get a grip on this. I need somebody to show me. And the Bible says he took the same place and he preached unto him Jesus. Why? Because the message of the Old Testament is the same message of the New Testament. It's the same message of old. That's the message for today.
Message
forever!
Jesus is the same. It's all about you. Mankind doesn't need peace. They need Prince Peace. Mankind doesn't need food. They need the bread of life. Mankind doesn't need clean water. They need a living water. Mankind doesn't need love. They need one altogether lovely. Mankind doesn't need universal health care. They need a great physician. Amen. Mankind doesn't need a reformation. They need a transformation. One way that takes place is by the one who makes the difference. The Lord Jesus. Do you know him? I said, do you know him? I'm not talking about do you know about him. I was with my dad was the other day. And he worked for him for 36 years, and he was the best story of all the people he had. One I remember well, so you have to go back to Speaking not saved. You're for them.
Amen.
You want them to get saved. Hey, come, somebody say, well, I don't embarrass myself. I'm telling you, everybody gets saved. Come on, you don't embarrass anybody. You're for you. Amen. It's time to act.
Amen.
Now's the day to die.
If you're that one, come on. Don't put it off anymore. God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. Celebrate the coming of this time of year. It's right and good that we do so. For the name of the Savior, it's that for which we rejoice. But thank you for loving us enough. You take upon yourself our condition so that you can take our pain. Some people aren't familiar with the sad real structures that they don't have in the church anymore. But I believe that how the gospel is presented, there ought to be an opportunity for those to respond to the invitation, because the gospel is an invitation by the church. So in a simple verse or two, if God spoke to your heart some need, whether saved or lost, you need some visit with the Lord. I find these paths are on this part of the wall up here. It's called an altar. Thankful in the church there's an altar. Altar is an important place. It's where business is done with God. And if God spoke to your heart about somebody, if you need somebody to pray with you, pastor, associate with other people, be happy. Hope the Lord God, help the Lord God. Hey, come on. Don't sit back there and say, I wish I had enough. Come on, man. Come on, hear that. And the invitation is for you. So as we sing, page number one, we have a song to turn through the second. Maybe that's what, make it a little easier. Back here, just back here. No one's